You, let's pray. Father, thank you for being a father. Thank you for being here through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us the opportunity, the freedom to gather here this morning, to come before you, to open our hearts, to open our ears, so that we would listen to what you want to say to us this morning. Lord, I really pray that you would use this word to talk to us, to teach us, and to transform us according to your word, to transform us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I invite you to open your Bibles in the Gospel of Matthew. We will read several passages from the Gospel of Matthew this morning. And I would like to start out in Matthew 9. Matthew 9, from verse 18. And, you know, the verses before, they deal with the calling of Matthew, and then Jesus is being questioned about the fasting. And then we continue from verse 18. So Matthew 9, 18. So while he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. Verse 23. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men following him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. I was reading these verses, I think it's already several weeks ago, and something really stood out for me and made me, you know, think and ponder these verses. And the first one is in verse 18, the synagogue leader, he comes to Jesus and, you know, he has just been experiencing the death of his daughter, which of course is a very severe and very serious experience. But what he says to Jesus is, you know, is really amazing and astounding, because he simply says, "Yes, my daughter has died, but I believe that you will resurrect her from the dead." He says, "But come and put your hand on her, and she will live." So it really is an exclamation of faith. He does not. He apparently does not doubt. I mean, if we read these verses, we don't find any sign of any doubt. But he had been just experiencing that his daughter had died, but he knows where to go, and he tells Jesus, "I do believe, and I know that you will resurrect her from the dead." And in verse 19, we read Jesus got up and went with him, because he immediately recognized this man really believes in me, and he really believes in what I can do. So he gets up and goes there, and then in verse 25, we read indeed that he raised this girl from the dead. There was no doubt. He simply went there and did it. But why could he do this without you know, having to, you know, discuss with this man? Because this man was believing that Jesus would do this. So basically, the man's faith basically activated the miracle. And that's the point. And the very same point we find in between with this woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. So she must have been suffering a lot for many, many years. But even though she had been suffering for 12 years, she was full of faith. She knew that this Jesus, he can heal me. And she even said, I only have to touch the edge of his cloak. I actually don't need to talk to him. I don't need his prayer. I don't need his special touch. But no, I will touch him. I will go there. I will touch him. And I will receive my miracle. And, you know, given the fact that she had been suffering for so many years, this is really, it's amazing. The faith that she was showing. And this is exactly what activated her miracle. And in verse 27, 28, 29, when we read about these two blind men, it's the very same thing. So they come to Jesus and they say, Lord, have mercy on us. And they believed that Jesus would be able to heal them. And this is exactly what Jesus asks them actually before the miracle. Do you believe that I can do this? And they say, yes, Lord, we believe. We know this. We expect you to heal us now. And this activated the miracle again. So, and they received the miracle and they received their sight. And you know, this is just a couple of verses, not too many, but it's three examples really showing us that, you know, in a way, Jesus really requires our faith. So if there's no faith, you know, then things start getting difficult. And this is also what Jesus says. I'm at a different passage. I don't know exactly where this is found, but it's in the Gospels. And Jesus said that in his hometown he couldn't do very many miracles. Why? Because people were not believing. So you know, to have faith is crucial. It's essential, and this is really being shown to us through these examples that I was just reading. And so this made me think, and this made me ponder, and you know, I really ask myself, how big is my faith? You know, and in Mark 9:23, I will not open this now, but Mark 9:23 tells us that everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for us as believers. I know that, you know, you might think about this situation or that challenge in your life, and you say, well, you know, this is so difficult, but the Word of God is clear, and we should not doubt the Word of God. So the Word of God tells us everything is possible for the one who believes. But now, if we are honest, you know, then probably almost everybody, and I could guess most likely everybody, at some point faces this challenge to believe and not to doubt. And this is okay. I mean, we are human beings. I mean, sometimes we are challenged to really believe and to not give up our faith. And so, you know, there's this challenge, the Word of God, which really tells us that everything is possible for us as believers. But then on the other hand, you know, you might face some challenges in your life and you haven't experienced the fulfillment of a particular promise or something like that. And of course, this is challenging. And I think it's helpful to really look into the Word of God and also to identify reasons for doubt, reasons for worries, reasons for being fearful and not for believing in Him and in His miracles in my life or in the lives of our brothers and sisters. So let us have a look a little what the Bible tells us about reasons for, you know, not being full of faith. So the first one I want to read is from Matthew 6, so Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. I will read from verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. This is already a very profound statement. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? You of little faith. That's the point. In German, it says Kleingläubiger. And I think that's the crucial point here. You of little faith. He talks to his disciples, actually, and he calls them you of little faith. And why does he do this? I think this is the reason why they apparently were worrying about what they would eat and about what they would drink and, you know, about the clothes they would wear and where they should all get this from. There were certain worries, and because there were worries, this really shows us that their faith was limited. So Jesus makes the point that since your faith is limited, you are worrying about these things. And then in verse, I will also read the two following verses. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, so the non-believers, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So, you know, we are not pagans. We are believers. But sometimes we do run after these things. And, you know, indirectly it shows us that our faith is limited. So one hindrance to faith, one hindrance to growing in faith in Jesus Christ is, you know, the worries of this life. Another example, Matthew 8. And I will read from verse 23. Matthew 8, verse 23. So then he, meaning Jesus, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And this is a very profound statement. It's just a couple of words, but this is very powerful. So why are you so afraid? What he actually means by saying this is, you actually did not have any reason to be afraid. This is what he's saying. There was actually no reason to be afraid. And, you know, they probably said, well, you know, this furious storm, and didn't you see this? And you know, maybe you are also facing some storms in your life. You know, everything is becoming more and more expensive, right? And I guess many of us actually really experience this. Things are getting more and more expensive. And, I mean, you know, many, many other things that we could might identify as storms, which have already reached our lives or appear to be reaching our lives. But Jesus says, why are you so afraid? So actually, there is no reason to be afraid. And he directly connects it with the extent of our faith. So you of little faith, because you are of little faith, or you are still of little faith, this is why you have been afraid. So another hindrance to our faith and to growing in faith is to be afraid about the circumstances that we face. And one more example that I would like to read, again, from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 14. Matthew 14, and I will read from verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. So immediately Jesus made the disciples, maybe a little bit to the background, in the verses before, we read about the feeding of the 5,000. And then in verse 22, we read, immediately after this, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Verse 29, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" So very, I mean, like a similar situation, and again, he calls him "you of little faith." And by doing so, he already tells him the reason why he was doubting, because his faith was limited. He actually did have faith, because otherwise he would not have asked Jesus, "Tell me, command me to come to you on the water." So there was some faith. He had already been, you know, experiencing Jesus, and he had faith in him. He had faith in, you know, being able to walk on the water through the power of God. And Jesus encourages him and says, "Yes, come." And he, you know, he steps out of the boat and he starts walking on the water, and it works. It really works, and it really shows that Peter was having faith. But, you know, on the other hand, he was still doubting. So he was not, he had already been experiencing some growth in his faith, but only to a certain point. And he was not already, you know, sort of free from, you know, looking at the circumstances. And at some point he looks at the circumstances, and then he sees the wind and, you know, the water and all this, and then he starts to sink. And this is the point where he starts doubting, and of course Jesus reaches out to him and he catches him, but again he says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" So he doubted because his faith was limited. So, you know, I think there's more aspects when we that we could talk about when we think about what can be hindrances to our faith. But it's the worries of this life. It's like our anxieties, our fears. It's our doubts that often actually hinder us in going forward with the Lord. And these are hindrances to faith. And when I thought about this, and I also talked about this with my wife once I had prepared this, and just asked her what she thinks. And then she said one point that actually already also had come to my mind. And I think it's important because, you know, if there are worries, if there are, like, you know, all these like fears and doubts that sometimes we are facing and which seem to hinder moving forward in faith, then this kind of indirectly tells us something about our relationship with the Lord. It tells us something about how well we know him and how well we are acquainted with his character and with his entire personality. And then therefore, basically, I want to close with praying, and let us pray that we would, you know, receive more and more revelation about who Jesus is, that we would receive more and more revelation about his personality and about his character and his unconditional love. And that, you know, if he says something, as he did to Peter, "Come," he said, "come to me on the water." If he says it, then he means it. You know, and this is, I think, what Peter had not fully realized yet, that when Jesus says something, he really means it. And there is, you know, his yes is a yes and his no is a no. And I think this is something that Peter had not fully realized. So, and therefore, there was still some doubt. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, he showed the faith. He was able to walk on the water. He was able to experience this miracle. But then, you know, he was not fully secure in Jesus and who Jesus is. And therefore, he started doubting. And then, of course, needed the Lord to catch him. So let us pray really that we would, you know, get to know Jesus more and more, and that we would really know who he is and how his character is, and thereby overcome, and that's the crucial point, and thereby overcome our fears and our anxieties and our worries, and therefore, as a result, grow in our faith. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for being our Savior, for being our Lord. We thank you for being faithful, for being so patient with us. And I thank you so much for your word. Your words will never pass away. Yes, this earth and this heaven as we know it, they will pass away, but your words will never pass away. Your word is timeless, your word is true, and your word is clear. And you're challenging us also this morning. I mean, if we read these verses, Lord, from your word, then it really shows us that you require our faith. It's our faith that really activates the miracles that we need in our lives. And this really challenges us, because sometimes we do not have enough faith, not yet, and we are facing these worries and these doubts and fears and anxieties. And so, Lord, I really ask you that you would encounter us this morning, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our ears, that we would receive your word, that we would get to know you more and more, that we would get to know your character more and more, that we would receive and and understand your love more and more, so that we would grow in our trust in you, that we would grow in our faith, and that we would be enabled to overcome the worries and anxieties and so forth that hinder our faith, so that we would, as a result, grow in faith and grow in receiving the miracles for our own lives and also for the lives of our brothers and sisters who are in need. In Jesus' name, amen.